Welcome to a Heritage Christian Centre podcast. For more information, visit www.heritagecc.com.au. We hope this message blesses your life.
There's a core value in the kingdom of God which is so imperative, and I thought we might start with a video clip to. If you know who this is from and you catch on to the music, you're probably older than you're willing to admit. So if we can have that first video clip, please. Love is the title of my message today, and I was thinking about the songs, and I, for those who don't know me very well, I'm a little twisted, maybe a lot twisted, and I'm not very religious, which means a lot of secular songs that I learnt in the past take on a whole new meaning when I start singing them, because when I hear words like love, I don't think like the world thinks. My heart goes different, you know. I think about the Beatles songs and the Stones, because that sort of dates me a bit, but can't buy me love, money can't buy me love, my friend. You know, there's lines that go like, tell me that you want the kind of things that money just can't buy. And I don't care too much for money, but money can't buy me love. You know, I thought, well, I like those lyrics. So money can't buy you love. Love is something you can't purchase. Love is something you can't force. Love is something that we give. And the reciprocating love is a response. It's not an earned thing. It's something that comes. And it's sort of tangibly intangible or intangibly tangible, because it changes your world. You know, and then there's the other song, Love, Love Me Do. You know, another Beatles song. But I thought about it and listen to these lines. Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please love me do. Well, love me do, somebody to love somebody new. And I thought, hang on, I'll always love you, but I want somebody new. What happened to the other person? What happened to the person before the new person? So here's this song, I'll always be true. You liar. You liar. You'll only be true as long as you feel like it. I mean, it's nice words, but they're flattering words. They're words that try and appeal to the person's emotions for the purpose of manipulating people. That's not love. I remember when I was young and not a Christian, there was a song called Having My Baby. What a lovely way of showing how much you love me. No, it's not. It was a guy writing a song to his wife, but every boy didn't think about that part of the song when he was talking to his girlfriend. We weren't Christian. I know where your mind's going. That's exactly what we're on about. See, we twist things because we're carnal by nature until we come to Christ. And then, as Linda said, we have to do something about the soul, something about the power of sin in the flesh, the habits we bring into our faith, and we want real love to impact us. There's another song written by Dolly Parton, so please don't get upset. And it was that song, I will always love you. It's about a breakup. What? I love you always, but I'm no good for you, so I'm leaving. What? What? I mean, how many of you actually thought that I'll always love you was about a breakup? Come on. Who actually thought it was about a breakup? Yeah, one person. Most of us didn't think it. We thought, oh, such emotionally, wonderfully charged lies. That's not love. We have all this. Maybe we should come to a Hal David and Burt Bacharach song, which is probably something we really need. Let's have the next clip, Ben. Turn it up a bit. just for some, but for everyone. If you remember that song, you're older than you want to admit. The only place I find that kind of love that's not just for some, but for everyone, is found in a number of Bible passages. Probably the most famous scripture that we know. For God so loved the world. Not just for some, but for everyone. 1 John 2:2 says it like this. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins, listen, of the whole world. What the world needs now is that kind of love. And most of the world won't see and look for Jesus. The Bible tells me no one's looking for God. God is looking for us. God is looking for us to reach us with his love. For us to come to an understanding and a revelation of the passionate love of God. For Christians, you know, we could go to 1 John 3:16, which is, but it limits it to us. This is how we know love, that he gave himself for us. But I like 1 John 2:2 better because it's for everyone. A love that everyone needs. It's a love that would actually solve the world problems that are going on everywhere. It would solve the hatred that we have from race to race and nation against nation, man against man and men against women and women against men, whatever. It would solve it if we actually understood and took a hold of true love, real love, not true love emotional, but real love. Paul described love in a good way when we use it often in Bible passages for weddings. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Can I tell you right now, I love my wife and she's an amazing woman, but I still have memories of things where we had fights. Most of you don't have that problem. You don't. You're like God, you forget those things completely. You don't come to church on an argument on the way and come and, oh, I forgive her and completely forget it was ever happened. You liars. How many of us actually can say, I keep no record of wrong. I don't hold what you did and how you hurt me against you. Men tend to be a little bit quicker than women at this, and please, I'm not being nasty. Men just punch each other out and have a beer. Ladies, look, if anything goes wrong today, you remember every time that kind of thing happened in the past of your relationship, back before you even met your spouse. And when something happens, you'll raise that back up. Well, look straight at it. Am I telling a lie or am I telling the truth? Yeah, it's the truth. It's painful, isn't it? We know that. We men know it. We're the recipients of the pain. I can feel all the love that's coming from the women. You know, it doesn't dishonor others. Love is not about putting someone down. You know, Paul built a church and he never criticized the occult across the road. When they took him to prison, the magistrate says, he hasn't robbed your temple, he hasn't dishonored your God, get out of here. Paul built by building a heartbeat in a church that loved and wouldn't criticize, wouldn't tear down the other. I think I mentioned it last week. One of the things that really annoys me is people getting online running other Christians down in a self-righteous thing. That has nothing to do with the love of God. It's all well and good to have these nice words, but we need to stop and think, how do they actually outwork in our life? How do they actually get rubber on the road? How do we get that where our feet meet the ground and we walk it out? See, love's a lot like faith. James says in 2:20, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without works is useless?" Like faith, love inherently involves corresponding actions. You can't just say, "I love you," without a corresponding action. One of the things I love about this church is when we find someone in the house, especially in need, that there's just such a response. I mean, right now, Wally and Laurel Madden have been a part of the church since pretty much day one from when I've been here, and even before that. Their son was recently killed, about 34, I think. He grew up with my boy, killed in a vehicle accident. And they're grieving right now, but people have been providing meals and caring and dropping over and just expressing the heartbeat of God, because love requires a response. It requires that we don't just give an emotional platitude or nice words. It requires that we do something about it. We constantly see it in the life of Jesus. How many times you find he was moved with compassion when he looked on the multitude? He was moved with compassion when the leper comes to him, when the woman with the issue of blood. He's moved with compassion. And he does something. He doesn't just, "I'll pray for you," and walks away. He does something about it. Now, not everyone likes to talk about this kind of love. See, it's a love that requires something of us. It's not a love that we keep getting. It's a love that requires that we keep giving. A love that flows out of our life, and it costs us something to love. Not everyone likes that. They want love where they get. And that's not how God works. The Bible actually says it in John 3:19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Real love. Light. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. People don't want the kind of love that God requires of us, or God demonstrated to us in Jesus on the cross, because it's costly. It actually means you've got to go out of your way. You've got to dig into your pocket. And I don't care how deep it is, because some people's pockets are really deep. You know, you've got to try and get something. You know, am I going to be a person who is willing to make sacrifices to show love? Listen to what John says in 1 John 3:17-19. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, and that means action as well, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. That's the heartbeat of God. When we use words like love, let's just step away from the gushy, mushy, nice feelings. I'm not saying that they're not nice. I mean, when I saw my wife, gushy, nushy, nice, they were lovely. Yeah, but love is much bigger than that. This is how Jesus responds to people if their love has no action. Listen to Matthew 25, and most of us would know this. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people one from the other, just like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. There's a whole lot of imagery that's cultural here as well, but we won't go there. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit. It goes on, verse 40. The king will reply, I tell you truthfully, whatever you did for me, for one of the least of these, my brethren or brothers and sisters, you did it for me. Then he'll look to those on the left and he'll say to them, depart from me, you're cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen, not prepared for humans. But it was, we end up where we end up because we choose to go there, not God sends us. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you didn't clothe me. I was sick in prison, you didn't look after me. I tell you truthfully, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you didn't do it for me. See, actions, love is evidenced by actions. Now, you can do the work. Now, you can get a mindset of doing good deeds. But if you notice the people that were on the right, they actually respond in the context of the passage. When did we do this to you? When did we do this? They were unaware. Because they were so normally walking in the love of God, and that kind of action was normal and an outworking of the love of God in their lives, they were unaware of the fact that it was a work to do that kind of stuff. It's just what you do. They were completely oblivious to the fact that they were living the way Christ wanted them to live by loving and helping other people. See, you can do all the work, but if you're doing the work and it's not with the right motive, you become aware of the work you do and become very conscious of it. It becomes a stumbling block for your life. See, it's not the actions are not a requirement. They are a normal outworking of who we are meant to be. If we are lovers of God and God's love is in us, these things that he requires, especially in the context of this passage, these things will be normal. They won't be anything special. You know, buying someone a coffee or a meal or helping someone in need will not be like, tick, I've done a good deed for today. They will be just something you do and pretty much forget. Because it flows out of who you are. People love John 14:15. Religious people love it. They love it more than us. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. You hear me? You love me, you'll keep my commands. And if you don't, better get back over the camera. Religious people love that because they'll watch your world and they'll see when you broke a command. And they'll find it because none of us are perfect. And they'll miss the whole point. See, the EXV translation includes a note with this verse. It says this, this may either be a declaration or a command. Listen, this may either be a declaration or a command. Can I tell you, it's not a command. Why? Because I look at other scriptures. See, in the passage where people helped them, where Jesus talked to the sheep, when did we do these things? They were completely unaware they're doing the right thing, but they were doing the right thing. They weren't trying to do good deeds. They weren't trying to keep rules and regulations. They weren't trying to make sure every single doctrine was completely 100% correct. Because I can tell you right now, none of us have got that together. If you struggle with that, go back to last week's message. It's a declaration of reality. If you are a lover of God, you'll keep his commands. I love my wife. A whole lot of things I do because I love her, not because I've got a piece of paper that says I'm married. And I've used that example before. I don't know a better example. Not me, but the fact that we do. We don't need, the piece of paper doesn't make me love her. I love her. Therefore, I do these things. Therefore, I get up in the morning and if there's dishes in the sink, I wash them up. That's not even in the Bible. 2 Kings says, as a man wipes the dish, there's nothing in the Bible that says washes it up. I go beyond the scripture. I go far beyond. Now, washing up is far. In fact, I prefer to wash up anyway because, you know, if you're like me, men, where does it go when you wipe it up? I mean, how many of us actually know where everything belongs? Where's the pepper? In the door on the left. And next week, where's the pepper? In the door on the left. It's not in my need to know. I can ask. I don't need rules and regulations. I do, and we should do. We should love God. And because we're lovers of God and the love of God is in us, we do His commands. They are normal for our life. We are working a life that's becoming more and more like Jesus because, as 2 Peter says, and Linda mentioned it, we are partakers of divine nature. We've been given everything we need to live godly. It's now just a matter of learning to work and walk in that. And if we learn the love of God and how to live in that, it will be normal for us. You can't truly love without obedience following. You can obey without love. Come on, we can obey. You know what the kids are like. Sit down. Sit down. I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm still running outside. See, you can obey without love, but you can't love without obedience. It's a natural response to our heartbeat of doing those things because we love Him and we know they please Him. We want to. And it's not a work. It's just an outflowing of it. Galatians, Paul says in chapter 5, verse 6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. In other words, you know, you might have a doctrine for circumcision, you might have a doctrine not to. Doesn't matter. Bible doesn't care whether that doctrine's right or wrong. Because if faith isn't working through love in your life, those things matter zero. See, so people get caught up with all sorts of doctrines and they're not faith working through love. I'm going to hold my doctrine. Well, where's the love of God in that? Now, I'm not saying we should have bad doctrine, really bad, but generally it's like, where's the love of God? Where's faith working through love in that? See, in Luke 11, 42, religious people, they could keep the rules. Jesus says to them, woe to you Pharisees, you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Jesus is not saying don't do that stuff. He's saying make sure your motive's right. Make sure what outworks of your life comes from the motive of love and justice. And justice is not judgment. Listen, justice is not judgment. Judgment says we all should go to hell, wherever that is. And plenty of people tell us to do that anyway. Judgment says that. Justice says, I love you and I'm going to make a just way. And so Jesus comes and dies on a cross and He pays the penalty for our sin and we're declared not guilty. That's not judgment, that's justice. If we love God and we take a hold of what Jesus has done, God says, justice says you're free. Justice says you're not guilty. Justice says you're clean in my eyes. Justice says I see you through what Jesus has done. I see you covered with the robe of righteousness. I see your heart responding with the garments of praise. I see your life living a life of worship, which is a reasonable response of service to the King. See, Paul says in Romans 12, 9, let love be without hypocrisy, not words and not motions without works. I don't know where we are, but church, I know I'm not there yet. And I pray maybe you're better than me. I pray, you probably are. Maybe we need to think, God, how, not do I do better works, but how do I ensure that what I do flows out of my heart of love for God? Because if it doesn't, guess what? It's not love. See, people do good works, one, some of them do it to make themselves feel good. You know, if you do a nice act, how many of us know when you do something kind for someone, you walk away going, that's good. If it's not from the heartbeat of the love of God, guess what? It's pointless. It's pointless. It profits me nothing, Paul says. Paul says, hey, if I have tongues and miracles, it profits me nothing if I have not love. You can do all the generous philanthropy and kindnesses, and they will help people. And that's good. But Paul says, even if I do all of that, without love, it profits me nothing. It doesn't actually build my character. It doesn't actually make me more Christ-like. Now, I'm not saying don't do them. Understand, if we do them without the love of God, it's going to help people. And I'm glad there are people in the world who give and generously give to help people. But if it's not out of the love of God, it does nothing for them spiritually. But even a cup of water from the love of God has a reward. Even having the right heartbeat in reaching out your hand, sitting down and crying with someone who's crying. You don't even have to have the right words to walk alongside someone and care and be there, to make a phone call out of the blue and say, hey, just thinking of you, been praying for you. What can I do to help? They might say nothing. Why? Because you've already helped them. Because the love of God works out of your life. It's not then hypocritical love where you get a sense of self-fulfillment, where you get a sense of having done something good. And I'm not against that. But if that's why we do it, we've missed the point. We do it because we love Him. We do it because we look at Him and we want to become like Him. We want to live in His love. We want to live with His character, which is whenever we see, we're not moved to have a better ego. We're not moved for a sense of self-righteousness. We're not moved to stir ourselves to make ourselves look good. We're here and we're doing it because we're moved with compassion to show the love of God to hurting, broken people in a tangible way that they might come to know the heartbeat of God. See, the beauty is this, the plan of God is that we can stand before Him whole and without blame. Let me read it to you, Ephesians 1:4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him, listen, in love. See, where our blamelessness comes not from our works. Our blamelessness doesn't come from our righteous acts. It doesn't come from any of those things. It comes from being in love. The love of God. See, love has this wonderful capacity. The Bible says, the love of God constrains me. Love says this behavior is acceptable and it's not. Love moves in our heart to the point where no one's putting fences up, but we choose the limits of our life because we have a heartbeat of love for God. We want the world to see Christ in us better and better every day. I'm not against works. Paul says it like this to the Thessalonians. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Like musicians and singers to come. You know, church, I just appreciate the generosity and the heartbeat of the church here. And I understand that we're in a world right now, in our world, where in our cultural context, people are struggling with the cost of living and other issues in life. But love should never stop. That should never stop us, because love moves us to sacrifice. Love was demonstrated on a cross. Love was demonstrated by the fact that Jesus left heaven and walked on earth among us. I mean, if I was an alien and I had no sin in my world, why would I want to come anywhere near this place? Come on. I mean, who here really would like to go to a trip to the local sewage treatment plant? Why would you want that? It's a place where garbage gets cleaned. Well, the earth is where the blood of Jesus cleans us. You know, why would you want to come here? But Jesus, God Himself, He saw us and He was moved with compassion to action. He said, I'm going to inhabit their world. I'm going to come and I'm going to walk among them. I'm going to partake of their frailties. I'm going to walk in the midst of them. I'm going to show them what it's like to live with a heartbeat of love. And then on top of that, I'm going to express a love that's greater than any other love. I'm not going to give my life for my friends. I'm going to give my life for the whole world. And this is love. Not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. Not just you and me. Not just love for some, but love for everyone. Church, how do we demonstrate to the hurting world this kind of love? And not sloppy, not a love that doesn't call us to transform and be changed. The love of God brings us on a journey to lay aside things that hold us back, to put off the old and take on the new character and nature of God and allow that to work in us. It's not a love that says, oh, you'll be fine just like you are. No. You're accepted just as you are. Now begin a journey in the love of God to be transformed, to put off sin, to put off those things that hold you back and follow him and learn of him and take his yoke upon you and walk in his way. But he showed us by coming among us and he hung on a cross. And even in that point, he forgives the people who are killing him. And he gave his life and says, Father, forgive them. I wonder if we say that to people who hurt us. And people will hurt us. Listen, we're in a world where sin is. People will hurt us and we will hurt people, sometimes inadvertently and sometimes in anger. And he says, Father, forgive them. Can we forgive one another? Can we not hold these things against each other? Not just this church, but even between churches. Maybe they've done something wrong. Maybe they haven't. Maybe we're wrong. But can we at least show the love of God in amongst the body of Christ so the world can see and be drawn to the goodness and kindness of God and see that Christ is in us because of our love to one another? Knowing that God will still reward us, he's a rewarder. Every sacrifice you make, there's a reward. But I don't do it for the reward. I do it because I love him. And I want to learn to love him more. And if you don't know him, he died on a cross because he wanted you to know he loved you. 3 days later, he rose again to give you the opportunity to have eternal life by believing in him. But he won't force people. That's what, see, love doesn't force. Love is not religious with rules and regulations. Love is a response that understands boundaries are voluntary but important. Love constrains. Love calls me to put off and put on. Put off the old, put on the new. Put off sin, put on righteousness. Maybe today you don't know Jesus. But again, he loves you. And he calls you to respond to him and say, yes, I need you. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the beginning of a transforming journey. You won't be perfect. None of us are. We journey toward it. And his love draws us and draws us and draws us and draws us. And prayerfully we become different to Adam, who hid when he sinned. That we, because we know his love, when we fall, when we sin, we repent and we come to him. We come into the throne and say, God, I'm so sorry. I failed again. For the 14th time. For the 40th time. Please forgive me. Help me. Help me to overcome this. And he forgives. And his love draws us. Not an excuse to keep doing it. But it's a drawing to transformation. Maybe you want to commit your life to Jesus today. Or Christians, maybe. Maybe there's things that you need to look at and say, you know, I'm still holding that against that person. I say I've forgiven them, but my actions actually don't. Now, I'm not saying the memories or the thoughts won't go there. What I'm saying is captivate that kind of thinking. And in the love of God, bring it in submission to the obedience of the knowledge of Christ, who forgave you everything. And forgive that person. I'm not saying always trust them. That's a journey. But really let forgiveness be an action that's expressed in love. In a moment, we're going to pray. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I'm going to ask people, if you're not right with Christ and you want to choose to follow Jesus today, I'm going to ask you, raise your hand. And please don't do this. I can't see that. Raise it like this so I can see it. And then I'm going to ask Christians, is there something in your life that you need to let love impact? Not normal love, the love of God. You can raise your hand a bit like this if you want to. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you want to know the love of God, you want to ask Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, to forgive you from all your sin, you want to begin a new journey saying yes to Jesus today. The Bible says today, now is the time, today is the day of salvation. I'm going to ask you just in a moment, would you raise your hand? And listen carefully. You might say, not today. That's a nice way of saying no. But you're still saying no. I'm going to ask you, would you say yes today? Just raise your hand where you are. And if you see that hand, you put it down, sir. Any others today in the balcony? People on the ground floor? Christians, now for you. I'd like the musos, if you're not playing an instrument, need to see the keys. Just bow your heads. Respect other brothers and sisters. You're going, Lord, there's a place in my life or something in my life where I've been hurt and I'm struggling to forgive that person. Let the love of God move in me so I can really forgive them. Help me to let that go. Help me to not continually punish them for it. I ask you right now, will you just quietly just raise your hand a little bit where you are? Thank you. Put it down. Others, yeah, I see those hands. Lots of them. Lots of them. Can we all stand, please? If you raise your hand to say yes to Jesus, or maybe you know you should have, but you didn't. As we sing, I'm going to ask you, would you have the courage to walk and stand with me at the front and let me pray with you? I'm going to ask you to pray a simple prayer, which will, it's not magic, but it's just contains three simple points. And there's no magic in a prayer, just a heartbeat, cry, God, please forgive me. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for accepting me. That's all it will be, really. And if you need to come, maybe you want healing, there's some physical, or you're struggling, you want prayer, we're going to open the altar up. You're welcome to come and join us. Now let's sing this song.